Before the court this morning are two cases in which oral argument will be heard. But before we hear the arguments, I want to make a statement myself in the nature of a disclosure, particularly for the benefit of those parties contending against the tax commissioner in these cases. I was employed by the Supreme Court as a master commissioner beginning in July 2006, so I've been on this job for about a year and 4 months. But before that, I was employed by the Attorney General in his taxation section. And in that capacity, I litigated cases on behalf of the tax commissioner. When it came for these cases to be scheduled for oral argument, I did a preliminary review of the file. I determined that I had not participated in litigating these cases, and that therefore it was appropriate for me to carry out my duties at the court, including hearing the oral arguments in this case. I believe that's the proper objective standard, and I've applied it. In addition, subjectively, I can assure everyone that I'm completely impartial and that I bring no speck of bias to the hearing of these cases this morning. I would also point out that the ultimate decision of these cases, although I am hearing the oral argument for the justices themselves will confer and will decide this case based upon their own review. However, if there are any objections to that, the parties can feel free to make a brief objection on the record this morning or to make an appropriate filing with the clerk's office in this case. That said, we'll proceed with the arguments. The first case to be heard this morning is number 2007-0924. Mr. Bloom.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I would like to reserve 5 minutes for a rebuttal, if I may.
Watch your time.
Okay, thank you. One would have to be sympathetic with the plight of governments and school districts if the Supreme Court were to agree with my client's interpretation of statute. It would cause a lot of difficulties for them and a lot of difficulty in planning. But I recall, I guess, because I have gray hair and I hearken back to when I was a young lawyer, and my mentor, Arthur Wilkowski, who then was chairman of the Judiciary Committee, used to lecture me that the law is a jealous mistress. It does not allow us to do what we think is equity. It requires us to follow the law, whether we believe it's proper or not. And that is the issue, I think, that is before this honorable court. Simply stated, the statutes in question do not say what the commissioner says they do. There is absolutely no conditions preceding as to dates for filing an exemption based upon the use of the property for a religious purpose. And in fact, the statute that is relied upon by the commissioner and was relied upon by the Board of Tax Appeals specifically only addresses remissions. And what essentially the executive branch is asking the judicial branch to do is engage in judicial activism and rewrite the statute.
Let me ask you about that, Counselor. Aren't there at least a couple of cases in which this court has previously stated that the exempt use should be in place on the tax lien date?
There are two cases where arguably that's what the court has held. The first one, Christian Benevolent, really was, when you read the opinion, was construing 570.113. And in that case, the exemption in
that was the definition
of
home for the aged in
right
that case.
Right, and they weren't, it's the statute says you have to be licensed. The appellant in that case wasn't licensed at all during that year. And therefore, the court said you had to be licensed. There was another appellant in that case, as learned counsel for the appellee has pointed out, as the Attorney General has pointed out, Brentwood Life Care. But there was no commentary, there was no discussion. It just affirmed the case. The other one is Ursuline Academy, a 1943 or 44 case. And in that case, again, the focus wasn't on this issue. the case stands for that issue, but the court didn't discuss this issue. And I would submit to the court that it really has never reviewed the issue that's presented here. That does the statute require that you own the property on the tax lien date? And I would ask, point to the language in any of the statutes that say that. And the only language that can be pointed out is 5713.08, but that specifically deals with remission. And if we wanted to engage in that supposition as to what the legislature meant, then I could point to the statute, and I apologize, I don't have it, it's gone out of my mind, and I apologize to you, that says that the local auditor must review the tax rolls, and the local auditor, as to exemptions, and the local auditor can determine itself when that should be done.
Let me ask you a question about the tax commissioner's position provides a point of reference for him when he's reviewing these applications. What is the rule that you advocate? When does the exempt use have to be in place? Is there some particular time during?
Yeah, the only date is in the enabling legislation. In 5713.27 says you must file it by December 31st of the year in which you are making the application, and so you must own the property
on
December.
That refers to the filing date for the application.
And I must own the property on the date on which I file it. And so I have until December 31st of the year in which I am seeking an application.
So really the difference between the two sides in this case is the tax commissioner advocates that the use has to be in place on January 1st of the year, and your position is it can be as late as December 31st.
Right, and December 31st just happens to be the date when taxes are due. And if you look at the commissioners, the commissioner filed a motion to dismiss, but I think that motion to dismiss is helpful in determining the case on the merits, because under the tax commissioner's theory, I am going to be filing for an exemption on a piece of property where the taxes aren't going to be calculated, even calculated for another 8 or 9 months. I'm going to be filing for, they're not even going to be certified to the treasurer for 10 months, and they're not even going to be due in Lucas County for another year.
But with regard to the tax commissioner's motion to dismiss, what authority in the statutes, what language would you point to that permits the application to go forward when the exempt use has not been in place on January 1st?
I would turn it around. There is no statute, there is no language in the statutes, or let me rephrase this. As to jurisdiction, the commissioner is confusing the jurisdiction of this court with the jurisdiction of the tax commissioner. I don't believe there's any question this court has the jurisdiction to hear this matter. Constitutionally, it's mandated. And statutorily, it's mandated. And this court has specifically held, as I cited in my brief, that it has the authority. The commissioner's jurisdiction is another matter. The commissioner's jurisdiction, it's not a judicial body. It's an executive body, and it's confusing jurisdiction and authority.
But when you say that this court has jurisdiction to hear this case, that's one thing, but then does the court have jurisdiction to review the merits of the exemption and issue an order that would lead to granting the exemption? Isn't that tied to the commission? If the commissioner never obtained jurisdiction to grant the exemption himself, then doesn't that sort of pass up the chain to the
court? No, because you're in two different branches. Under the commissioner's theory, we have one branch of government. But we don't. We have three branches of government. And commissioner is an executive. We're not talking about jurisdiction. We're talking about authority. And this court has the right to review whether the whether the executive branch has the authority to grant an exemption. And I would submit that it does, because again, where in all of this argument, the commissioner has failed to point to any statute that says you must own the property on the date on January 1st, on the tax lien date, and likewise has failed to point to any statute that says I have to pay taxes that haven't even been calculated. Because in this case...
Well, but the tax commissioner points to that statute you referenced, 5713.08, and doesn't that say that the payment of the taxes has to be certified up to the time of the application, and the only exception for that would be the years that the tax could be remitted?
Because the statute 5713.08 only deals with remission. And it makes sense, because what you are doing here, it becomes a tax lien on January 1st. And I file by December 31st and in effect discharge the lien. All the lien is doing is collateralizing. I have used up my 10 minutes. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cohen. Ms. Mesereau.
Thank you, Your Honor. pardon me. I think in your questioning of counsel for the appellant, that you were honing in on the heart of our argument and the matter here.
He's right, isn't he, that there's no statute that you point into that says the exempt use must be in place on the lien?
No, there's no statute that expressly says that. But when you look, you have to read the tax law statutes in this area in peri materia. And so you have revised code 323.11, which states that lien for taxes on real property attaches on January 1 of the year. So on January 1, prior to the time the appellant owned the property or used it in an exempt manner, the lien for the taxes for year 2005 had already attached to that property. So then when you look at 5713.08B, that provision says that taxes which have become a lien on property prior to the date of acquisition of title may not be remitted. And that's what we have here. Now, counsel's trying to draw a distinction between, pardon me, applying for an exemption and the remission of taxes. This court has not seen fit in its prior rulings to place any legal weight or distinction in that case. In a sense, he is asking for a remission because the taxes have already attached to the property and they haven't been paid.
let me ask you a question about the motion to dismiss.
Yes.
There was an argument made under the second proposition of law in your brief.
Yes.
And then there was an argument made in the motion to dismiss. And the focus in the brief was on the certification from the county
right.
treasurer.
And
the focus in the motion was on additional evidence of the taxes not being paid. And my question is, what jurisdictionally is the focus on? Do we look at the certification to determine, and if it's proper, then jurisdiction is present? Or do we have to look behind the certification and see whether or not the taxes were paid?
Well, in this particular case, it's my position that the certification says that the taxes for 2005 were not paid. I can tell you what came about when I looked at the treasurer's certification. It states that taxes were paid through 2004. And so I added that second proposition to my brief, because it's a separate jurisdictional basis that had not been raised before for why the application could not be considered. Upon receiving the reply brief and reading it, I thought that counsel was arguing that the taxes had been paid. And so... So
the tax commissioner's position is that it's the certificate from the county treasurer that is the jurisdictional prerequisite.
In this case, there was no other evidence submitted since the hearing had been waived, so you looked at that treasurer certificate. I would submit that had we gone to the BTA, we could have certainly produced even additional evidence that could have properly been considered if there was some doubt in that area.
Well, let me go back to that question again, because if the certificate is proper, let's say the certificate in this case had said 2005 instead of 2004, but then subsequently, and then the tax commissioner goes ahead and processes the application on the view that he has jurisdiction, and then later somebody comes forward with information that the certification is just wrong. What is it that creates the jurisdiction? Is it the certificate, or is it the fact of payment, or do both have to be present?
I'm not sure what recourse there would be at that point. I mean, the statute talks about the certification from the county treasurer. That is what's in the statute. So if you're only looking at that, then I guess you would say that it is the certification that determines the jurisdiction. Now, however, let's say the case was pending on appeal, and the information came forward that the certification was in error. I would certainly submit that during the pendency of that appeal, that evidence could be submitted showing that that was in error.
And then that would divest. And
then that would divest. I believe that would be the correct rule of law.
With respect to the certification itself, you said it's certified that taxes have been paid through 04, but then there's that line, and then there's a line below that. There's a box for the treasurer to put in any unpaid mm-hmm. taxes and assessments. Mm-hmm. And my recollection is that there were lines through those boxes, and then there was a statement next to it, and I don't remember it verbatim, but to the effect of mm-hmm. all taxes and specials paid
to date
or up to right. the present or something like that.
Right.
Why isn't that sufficient to create jurisdiction?
I say that that's ambiguous. What does he mean to date? To 2004? He said that's the only date that was, that was specified.
But the tax commissioner's agents made no inquiry into this.
They did not. They did not. Quite frankly, I mean, when I looked at it, my reading was they were paid through 2004 and no further. But in the case, if it is ambiguous, then the court has to look at the rule that exemptions from real property are in derogation of the right of the rights of others who pay taxes.
But there are also cases, aren't there, from this court, in which the court has made clear that it's the legislation that sets forth the condition on the exemption, and that no additional conditions can be created. And so doesn't that create the problem here where there's no, where, as you say, there's no statute that specifically says that the exempt use must be in place on the lien date?
No, but when you read the statutes in paramateria, there's no other conclusion that you can come to. If the taxes have attached and become a lien on January 1, and the taxpayer did not own the property, did not use it in an exempt manner on January 1, you say, okay, so they filed an application for exemption, but there's already taxes that have attached as a lien. So what they need is a remission of those taxes.
Suppose they had gone ahead, calculated or estimated what their 2005 taxes were gonna be, mm-hmm. made a payment, and then a day later filed the application. Okay, then that would remove this jurisdictional problem of the certification and the payment. And we would be confronted with a pure,
exactly.
Maybe it's a jurisdictional issue, maybe it's a merits issue, but the issue would be, when does that exempt use have to be in place? And you're telling the court that there's no statute that specifically says it has to be in place on January 1st.
Well, I guess I would refer you to 57-1308B that says if you're looking for a remission, then it has to, and the court's prior decisions. for the court to rule...
Well, under my hypothetical, they wouldn't need a remission, right? Because they would have paid... Well, I mean, they wouldn't need to be excused from payment because
they
would have paid.
But they would be seeking the return of the taxes for that year. They're seeking to not pay taxes for 2005. So, in effect, it is a remission.
Okay.
So, and this court has long held in all of its prior decisions that is the rule in the state, that's how they read it, that's how they interpret the law, how they've read the statutes. And it makes sense because in Ohio, that tax lien date, for better or for worse, is the controlling point in time. I would also submit, if you look at the case of, as far as paying, the argument that how could we possibly pay the taxes when they haven't even been billed and we don't know, taxpayers do it every day. You go to the auditor, the treasurer, they tell you how much you need to pay, and you pay it when you file your application. I mean, it's not, no, you haven't been billed, but yes, you can ascertain the amount. And it obviously happens because taxpayers obtain exemptions. They're not all kicked out jurisdictionally. So that is a doable thing.
Well, under the tax commissioner's submission, though, those applications for exemption would usually only have merit if the exempt use was in place on January 1st, right?
Right.
And if the exempt use is in place on January 1st, then that also triggers the right to the remission, or allows the remission.
It would allow the remission.
Okay.
So it's, you know, that you have two independent, you know, perhaps, I mean, in the past, it's always been viewed as a jurisdictional issue, whether they own the property. I mean, there's not only the exempt use, but also the ownership of the property on tax lien date. They did not own the property. And so then there's also a standing issue there.
They owned it at the time they filed the application.
At the time they said, so it's not a performing arts case, but they didn't own it on tax lien date. And so that's a whole nother issue as to, do they have the right to seek remission of taxes that attached prior to the time that they own the property.
But you haven't asserted that issue in the brief.
Well, yes, in fact, that's really what the BTA had said.
Okay.
And that was 571308B. And it's very clear. It says you may not remit taxes that have become a lien on property prior to the date of acquisition of title. And that's what we have here. Those taxes had become a lien prior to the date that they acquired the property. So in summation, I would say, following the longstanding precedent of the court and I believe the statutes that control here, within the context that the exemptions should be strictly construed against the granting of the exemption, that this court should affirm the commissioner and the BTA's ruling that the commissioner did not have jurisdiction to consider this application.
Thank you. Mr. Bloom, you have reserved 5 minutes and 33 seconds.
Thank you. Simply stated, we're not asking for a remission because no taxes were paid. Because on the tax lien date, with all due respect to counsel, you don't know what the taxes are. I think we're losing the forest for the trees as to the purpose of 32311. 32311 is to collateralize an obligation that by statute has not yet been calculated. If I walk in, with all due respect to counsel, if I walk in on the first business day of January to my Lucas County auditor and ask him to calculate the taxes for me, they're not going to do it because they don't know what they are yet. They don't have to do that until I believe it is August of that year, and they're not certified to the treasurer until October of that year. Secondly, it is only a lien, and it makes all the sense in the world. If I'm asking the government to give me back money, I have to own it on the tax lien date. If I'm asking the lien to be released for that year, and I am a diligent taxpayer, and I file the application in the year in which I am asking that the lien be released, I have to file it on December 31st. That is what the statutes say. And the intent is clear of the legislature of what, if we step back, what is the governmental policy here? The governmental policy is to exempt certain organizations like my client from paying real estate taxes. And with all due respect to the commissioner, and when you look at the body of law, over the last 20 years, we have developed every excuse in the world not to do that which is clear, and that is that this organization, which is using this property for a religious sanctuary, should not have to pay real estate taxes. And I submit that it's not our burden to show that somehow construing all these statutes, there is nothing that says that I must own it on the tax lien date. It is the commissioner's burden to point to the statute and specifically show what that language is that says you have to own it, and it's just not there.
Let me ask you, if the court were to find that some of these jurisdictional issues were incorrectly decided, what would be the disposition? Would it go back to the Board of Tax Appeals or the commissioner for further proceedings, or?
No, I don't think there's any, I mean, with due respect, I don't think these are jurisdictional issues as to the judicial branch.
Well, the record in this case so far consists of the application, right?
That's correct, but you know, I waived oral argument, but there was no objection to it. If there was a problem with the certification, I am not going to, there is no question we did not pay the taxes. My client did not pay the 2005 taxes. When they filed the application, those taxes weren't even due and wouldn't have been done for 3-4 months. And I think when you interpret pay, that's I have to pay something that is due. But I don't think it's a jurisdictional issue. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you. The case will be submitted. The court will advise the parties of its decision in the case.